Okay, good evening. My goodness, big class. before we start the class, I'd just like to talk about prostrations. All right? First of all, it's not mandatory that everybody prostrate. If you have a problem or if you don't want to, that's perfectly fine. But I think you should know. But when you come to Kadampa Center, you see a lot of people do prostrations. What does it mean? Right? You'll hear anywhere from, we are paying respect to the teachers, we are paying respect to the teachings, all those are good. It really does a couple of things. It truly is an admiration for what Buddha is teaching us. Okay? It also develops good qualities in you when you humble in front of the teachings or what you're about to receive. It does good couple of things, right? It also builds your quality up. Okay, and in that moment when you're bowing down, there's a couple of things to think about. So first of all, what is it they're, why they're holding their hands this way? So let's talk about that. And by the way, this is on Thupten Children's YouTube video. If you ever want to take a look at it, she has a confession to 35 Buddhas, but she talks about prostrations. And then I've seen many other websites where they've referred to her website. Okay, so it's just good to know that when we bow down, the left hand represents wisdom. This side is the method, and then you don't want to go empty-handed. This is a jewel that you're offering, and the surrounding is the emptiness of things. We'll talk about these concepts, right? And you may have heard of them, but you're offering that. Then when you see the protrusion on the top of the Buddha, that is all the merits that he has gained, right? And so whenever we start with up here, then we go to the crown, and we think about purifying this beautiful rays from Buddha coming to you and purifying your body, speech, and mind. Right? These are the four places they go. So they go up here, 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 and then they bow down. Now, there's a couple of ways. Some people can do full prostrations. Some do half prostrations. Some do stand up and do it. All fine. But at least for a couple of times when you come here, when you do this prostration or mentally or physically, think you can imagine all the people around you, your friends, your family, and just make it big. And imagine everybody is doing that. What is it really doing is changing your mind. Okay? It's not out there. It is really working with your own mind. So that's why we prostrate. Any questions on prostrations? And when you're prostrating, so when you're thinking about this part here, you can think about a white light coming to you. Here it's a red light and a blue light. This is coming from Buddha to you and purifying that part, body, speech, and mind. Or if that's too much to think about when you're doing quickly, you can just think about a golden ray just coming at you and blessing you. Okay? So when you're doing it at least for a couple of times, when we do it today, next class, whenever you come to Kadampa Center, when you see bowing down and if you feel like doing it, I want you to think about those things. You know, and we'll talk about those things, about what is wisdom and what is method and what is the jewel and what are we offering and to who are we offering. It really is developing your own mind and potential to become Buddha. That's the ultimate goal. Okay? And so we'll start with the three prostrations. If you're willing to do it, great. If you're not, that's fine. Just mentally offer some respects. Okay?
Okay, good evening, everyone. For those of you who haven't met me yet, I'm Linda, and I'm the program assistant. So if you have any questions, I can happily try to answer those for you, or try to find the answer for you. There is a handout just outside the door here, the Gompa door. It is called About Discovering Buddhism, Presenting the Path. And it has lots of information on it with the books and the readings and other practices that we'll be doing through this module. And down at the very bottom is an email address where you can reach me if you don't catch me before or after class. A few reminders, if we can silence our cell phones, and I'll do mine right now too. And let's see here, there's snacks and drinks out there for donations, so feel free to get something to eat or drink if you need to. The donation suggestion is out there, I do believe. Let's see what else. We do provide child care at Discovering Buddhism classes. So if you have a little one, feel free to bring them along. The kids meet in the nursery area and have an older child, like a teenager or so, with them through the night. Afterwards, are we still staying for discussion? Yeah, after the teachings tonight, there is more of an informal discussion group that will meet. Are you meeting in the Gompa? Yeah, meeting in the Gompa. So feel free to stick around for that as well. And let's see here. I think that's it. Yeah.
Usually there's 3-4 announcements.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Amy.
All right. Great. Just forgot to mention one more thing about prostrations. You always hear the word triple gem. You know, we all know taking a refuge. We'll talk about that a little bit. But it's Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. These are the three gems. So you can always, when you also do body, speech, and mind, you're also offering respect to the triple gem. Okay? So I just forgot to mention that. What I like to do is start the class with just a very basic introduction. If you can please... don't mind, doesn't have to anything, one-liner, your name, have you been to Discovering Buddhism before, and probably at the most, is this your first time or the purpose for coming here? I don't want to take a lot of time, but it'd be good to know who's attending today so I can see the people who have either taken the classes before or this is their first time. Gives me a good idea.
So I did forget to mention something. We are streaming, so when we say anything tonight, if you can please talk into the microphone, you do have to hold it kind of close to your mouth so that those streaming can hear us. So should we just pass the microphone
then? For introductions?
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's up to you. Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, okay. We'll start from Jason. Just a quick one-liner, who you are, and if you've been here, if you've taken Discovering Buddhism, is this your first class? That's about it.
Hi, I'm Jason. This is I've been studying Buddhism for 10 years, since 2006, but only 1 year, over a year, Tibetan Buddhism. I've been coming here for, I guess, around since last April, and I really enjoy it. So if you come on Sunday, you'll see me greeting.
Thank you. Jason?
Okay, so I'm Karen Beasley, and this is my first time through the two-year course. And why here? I'm here to learn about Buddhism because I'm very new to it. I don't know much about it.
Thank you, Karen.
I'm Christy, and I've been to the center for many years, but this is also my first time going through the first two-year course. The karma is right. It started at the right time in my life. I was able to commit to it. So a lot of it I know, but I also love hearing from lay teachers that have been studying for longer than me. So.
Excellent.
Hey, I'm Meredith. I've been coming to the center for about 6 months, and this is my first time through the Discovering Buddhism classes.
Oh, thank
you. Just wanted to go a little deeper.
I'm Kathy, and I am new at this, too. I started just before the first module. I did the meditation class and got interested in that, and it's interesting.
Good.
Hi, I'm Carol, and I've been coming here for about 5.5 years, and this is actually my third time through DB. It's starting to sink in.
My name is Jim. I'm new to the center, and this is my first class.
Wow. Welcome.
Is this home?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm Chuck. I've been doing the Monday night DBs for several go-rounds, and I learn a little bit each time, but then I figure out there's more I don't know each time, too. So here I am.
Aloha. I'm Melissa. Grew up in Raleigh. Was at the Kadampa Center many, many years ago. Suddenly in Raleigh again, and Buddhism is a doorway to understanding who self is. So here and there, I continue to collect gems of Buddhism, though I'm no scholar. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, gang. My name is Tamar. I've been around here for probably that many years. And this is probably my second go-around with him, and so this time I'm paying attention a little bit differently.
Hi, my name is Remy, and this is my first time here.
Hi, I'm Jolie, and I've been coming to Kadampa Center for a couple years on and off, but this is my first time in discovering Buddhism.
Welcome, Jolie.
Hey, I'm Tim. I've been coming to the center 2.5 years. This is my second go-round in DB.
Hi, I'm Helen. I've been here only 4 months. I'm new here. And I want to learn everything you have.
Heyo. The name's Mitch Larrabee, and this is my first time at these classes. But I've been to the morning meditation on Sunday before.
My name is Dwight. I've been coming to the center for 2 or 3 years, and I really like what the people that I meet here, and I want to be more like them, so I hang around a lot.
Hello, I'm Mal. Ditto.
Hi, I'm Alex, and it's my first time here.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Craig, and this is my first go-around with these DB classes.
My name is Eloy. I did the Buddhism 101 class, and the teacher recommended I took these classes because I really got interested in the... I don't even know the word in English, just the pictures, the images, the Taras in general, so... I figure this will be the better way to learn it in a more punctual way.
Hi, I'm Anne Marie. I've been coming for a few weeks. I've been going to the Buddhism in a Nutshell class, and this is my first time with this class, and I love it here.
Hi, my name is Kim. This is my first go-around with the DB classes.
Hi, my name is Kurt. I've been coming to the center for almost a year, and it's the first time with Discovering Buddhism.
Hi, I'm Anna. I'm new. Never been to a class, so we'll see.
I'm Donna. I've been coming for a lot of years. I took DB in the past, and I'm coming because I don't get to know the people in Discovering Buddhism very well, so I'm going to be popping in and out now and then to get to know folks better.
Hello, I'm Patty, and I've taken the DB course before and here for a wonderful refresher. And definitely you'll realize that as much as you think you've learned going through, when you take it the second time, you just keep learning, and it's absolutely wonderful.
My name's Julia, and I think I took the first DB class like in 2004 in the other building, and I met a lot of wonderful people. And so I'm enjoying taking this class because it impacts my practice and it makes me more focused, and I get to meet so many new people that I wouldn't ordinarily get to meet.
My name is Jonathan. This is my first go-round in these classes, and I came here because probably 2 years ago I started realizing that even though I was unaware that this path to Buddhism existed, I felt like the path was calling me. And so as I've been studying, I've started finding these little gems of aha moments, and I'm enjoying being part of it.
Hi, I'm Jen, and I've been coming to the center for 3 years now, first time taking the class, and I'm just working on improving my mind. It's a work in progress.
Hi, I'm Jackie. I came many years ago with my children when they were very young, and we didn't stay much. We joined another facility, but I'm back by myself, and I just started in January for this course, and I can see myself repeating it for the rest of the time I live in this area because I love it so much.
Sorry. Hello, I'm John. I came here initially couple years ago and have been trying to get into it, and now I finally committed to taking some of the DB classes.
Hello, I'm Tom. This is my first go-around through the DB module.
Hello, my name is Alex. Hey, Alex. I'm coming here now for 11 months, and this is my first go-around in the DB class.
Hi, I'm Sandra. I've been coming to the center for almost a year, and this is my first go-around discovering Buddhism class.
Thank you.
I'm Vivian. I've been here for about 6 years, but thank you, Christy, for providing childcare. So this is my first term going around.
Hi, I'm Christine, and this is the first time I'm taking this class.
I'm Carrie. This is my third module.
I'm Josh. I'm pretty new to the center, and trying not to think so much.
I'm Nina, and this is my first class, but I have a notebook, and I'm ready.
I'm Jen. I've been coming different nights on and off for a few years, and this is my first go-round, but I started like in the middle of the last one, so I started at 9, and now I'm working my way back through.
My name is Naga. I come from Durham, so always late with the traffic. I went through one time, but I always missed some of the modules, and it's good to have a different teacher teaching different module to observe that. So I've been studying Buddhism for several years through other teachers, other traditions, so this is interesting for me.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Gary. This is my second time through the two-year program. Like Patty said, every time you do this, you learn something more, although at my age, everything's something new. hi, my name's Gary. Did I do that?
Hi, my name is Adriana, and this is the first time I am taking this module in particular. I've been coming to the center for 4 years now.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. It's wonderful. This is a great icebreaker, right? You get to know each other. Some of you may come again or for all the modules, but get to know each other. And it's very good for Kadampa Center to see all these people attending classes and interested in for one reason or the other. So welcome. This course, we'll do a little meditation in about a minute. I'm just going to give you a little overview, and then we're going to do a quick meditation, do a motivation, and then we're going to watch a little video. Okay, so before we do this meditation, I wanted to just say that this is the third module. Okay, there are several modules, there are 13 modules, I believe, and they just started Mind and Potential, went to How to Meditate, and this is Presenting the Path. So this is the module title, Presenting the Path. So when we talk about path, you're talking about a way and a goal. So it has a lot of subjects. We're not going to deep dive into any specific subject because there are modules that cover it in much more depth. But there are areas where the other modules don't cover, and it's very important for this particular module and for you to be familiar with. So we'll deep dive a little bit there. And I know that a lot of people have jobs, some people have been busy all day, so it's always good to come to Kadampa Center, bring your presence here, bring your mind here, and for the next hour and a half, we'll be together. Just know that it doesn't matter what is going on, just be present here, okay? So to do that, let's kind of do a quick meditation, just checking in, okay? So keep your get your back straight, okay. Relaxed. Okay. If you're sitting down, of course, cross-legged. If you're sitting on the cushion, your feet are flat on the floor. Your arms loosely on your lap, and what you want to do is your right hand is above your left hand, kind of the thumbs are touching together, just slightly below your navel area. Your head is slightly tilted forward, okay? Keeping your eyes not completely closed, but if that's what you find comfortable, that's fine. You just want to keep it slightly open, good to be aware, but yet your mind is inside, you know, you're just thinking inside. Your jaw and mouth are relaxed, teeth slightly apart, lips slightly touching each other, and your tongue is sitting on the palate of your, on the top of your palate, behind the teeth. Okay? And just relax and scan your body. And as you're scanning your body, you know, you start putting your attention to your breath. Breath is neutral, there's no thought involved, and you can do two ways. You just look at, just when you, the breath is coming in and out, you can feel the sensation on your nose, a little tingling. Just pay attention to that. Or you can focus on your abdomen when you inhale, how the abdomen comes out and goes back in when you exhale. If you find yourself wandering, just very lightly let yourself, remind yourself to come back and focus on the breath. So let's just do that for a couple of minutes. Again, if your mind wanders, bring it right back to that breath and keep your focus there. So while you're in this state, a little calmer, we'll do a motivation. Just keep your mind, ears open, and let's set a nice motivation for this class. Okay? Let's start with reflecting on why we are here. What is it that we hope to gain by studying this course? That is titled, that has a title called Presenting the Path. Maybe we feel stressed in our lives or want to find some way to relieve that. Maybe we are aware of the need in our lives of those around us, or we wish that we can help in some way, but we always seem to come up short, not knowing what exactly to say, what the skillful action is to do in any given situation. Whether the motivation is for some type of personal temporary happiness, or whether it's freedom from suffering forever, for ourselves, or whether it is greater wish to develop the qualities that we wish to help others. First of all, is being very honest with where we are actually at right now, and setting the motivation by the power of making this effort to listen to this class content, and may the longing in my heart be fulfilled. And then recognizing that there are others with similar longings. And then expanding that motivation and the power of us coming together for these teachings. May all the wishes within all, from the heart of all living beings, be completely fulfilled. And then by recognizing that we have limitless potential, that there's no positive quality that we cannot achieve ourselves, without some effort, and especially contacting that place in our hearts that truly wishes to bring peace to this world, to stop the suffering of sickness, aging, death itself, and is looking for some way to free our minds into limitless capacity to be able to do this. Then, especially generating a bodhicitta motivation, that by the power of attending this course and listening to these teachings, may I, myself, quickly attain the state of fully awakened one and become exactly what is needed to benefit all living beings. And especially inviting to this place all those who study discovering Buddhism, wherever they may be, that they might receive the full benefit of this class and achieve their goals. Also inviting here our teachers from this life, those who we've met directly and those who are helping us in disguise, asking them to come here and bless our minds to receive exactly what we need in this moment in our spiritual development. And so entrusting ourselves with the mind of refuge and the mind of bodhicitta, we are going to be talking about the path to enlightenment. What does that mean? There's various ways, various packages of presenting Buddha's teachings. The key thing with Buddha's teaching, of course, is that they are meant to be experiential. That is meant to be something that you put into practice, and that's why we are listening to it today. Thank you. We're going to see a good video. That's a great way to segue to the program. Yes. I was wondering. It was interesting. I was enjoying it. I was going to say something in a minute. If you got into something else, I figured this is a preface. Maybe I didn't know about it. Now it is, right? Well, there we go. It's okay, just take your time. Ah, it's beautiful music.
shows us how to transform our minds from a state of suffering and dissatisfaction to one of extraordinary joy, awareness, and contentment. Vast in scope and profound in its implications, Buddhism accommodates every kind of mental disposition, but retains a laser-like precision that shows us what is to be accepted and what is to be rejected. It was realized and embodied by a human being like us. 2,500 years ago, an Indian prince named Siddhartha from the Shakya clan decided to give up his kingdom to search for a way out of suffering. Because of his relentless determination to find ultimate freedom, he came to understand the nature of his mind and in turn the ultimate reality of all phenomena. It was then called Shakyamuni Buddha. In this show, we will learn about the historical Buddha's life story, the spread of his teachings, and about the stages of the path to enlightenment.
In the following presentation, you're about to hear a great deal about the life, the accomplishments, and the teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, the historical Buddha. Now, the Buddha worked very hard in order to attain enlightenment. And the impetus behind that hard work was his strong motivation to achieve ultimate freedom and to benefit all living beings as much as possible. And so remembering that we've discussed in the past the importance of our own motivation and modeling after the historical Buddha himself, now, before receiving these teachings, set in your own mind a strong motivation to be able to traverse this spiritual path to reach enlightenment as quickly as possible in order to benefit. Walls of the
notice what we might notice, what we might notice in the world when people are get a little bit bored. He wants to go out of the temple as his first journey out. He did see some individuals, and on successive journeys, he saw at various times old people, sick people, and a dead person. And through each time, he would ask his attendants, "What is this? I've never seen this before. Well, what is this old person bent over and so forth? Where did it came? What's wrong with him?" And attendants would say, "This is an old person. This happened." And the doctor would say, "Is that unusual? Are there many of them?" And he would say, "This happens to everyone. Everyone. This is the fate of everyone." He saw someone who looked like a renunciate, someone who is seeking the meaning of life, seeking to transcend birth, death, and aging, aging, death, sickness, and so forth, the things that the Buddha had perceived. So this gave, supposedly, was the elements now that begin to coalesce to put together. So this is what I should do. I should leave home also. And he takes the act, he takes his hair, his beautiful royal locks, with his sword, cuts them off. He said that that's one of the relics he goes off seeking, teaching, seeking the answer to sickness and old age and death. And even though the teachers themselves were very fond of Siddhartha, recognized him as a prince, and saw his great qualities, and the fact that he achieved a bare state, even though he was a teacher, he achieved the same realization they did in a very short amount of time. They asked him to stay on and teach their disciples. He refused and went off to try to find an answer to this riddle that he had encountered. Sometimes living on just a small berry from the tree a day, Siddhartha became very emaciated. So, at this point, the Buddha himself is beginning to recognize that he's not making any progress. The Buddha went to bathe in the river, found himself very weak, couldn't even get out of the water. Began to worry, what's going to happen. He began then to beg some food. Now the Buddha is invigorated, and he seeks now a place to do meditation, and then sits down on this cushion of grass with the determination, until I achieve the essence of enlightenment, I am not rising. So this is now the demarcation of the next act, which is of the defeat of Mara, or the defeat of the Maras. Mara is someone who it can be part of our own being, our own minds, or can be something external that hinders our spiritual development. And that evening, he achieves his enlightenment, which is now called the next deed, under the Bodhi tree that evening, completely transformed, eliminating from his mind all the vestiges of the ignorance and any kind of insufficiency and abilities, and spends the next 7 weeks without moving very far away. There's a crucial attention. Oh, those 5 disciples with whom I spent 6 years, their minds are only their Dharma eyes on this slightly covered with the dust of ignorance. So he travels, knowing where they are, to the Deer Park in near Sarnath. And he begins to teach them the very first discourse on the Four Noble Truths. And this is the beginning of this deed, which is essentially the next long period of Buddha's life, many decades of teaching. And for the rest of his life after that time, spent many decades teaching, turning the wheel of Dharma. Finally took the aspect of passing away, dying, passing into parinirvana. So that, in a nutshell, just as a sort of an introduction
is we've been about the life of Buddha, the 12 deeds.
Essentially in free You need both weeks. I'm going to need 2 weeks. So the way that working on the wisdom is where you really work on yourself. You turn yourself into an amazing being. Being qualified to actually do the job. You know, of benefiting others. And what we really are is a potential for. You know, if it is true, this is our true nature, who we really are, then we indeed need someone to show us how to do it. We need for teaching. And then there are various ways that are explained in the text of how to devote oneself appropriately. The very heart of which is the idea of training our minds to see the Lama, the teacher, the spiritual guide, as the most benefit comes to oneself. And then our teacher gets this is the best point of guru devotion is put there by the 14th century Lama of this tradition called Tsongkhapa. And the third point of the preciousness of this life that we have right now, not just to take it for granted, and the field of enormous energy to what not waste it. And the third point we discussed in the first scope was the need to think about impermanence, but specifically the impermanence of this very person. It energizes us to even more when we not waste this life. The death is different. The time is uncertain. And that the only thing that can benefit us at the time of death is a virtuous increase in our life. Nothing else. Then this leads us on to the next contemplation, the first scope, as we discussed, which is looking at the logical likelihood of suffering lives in the future, given that we have a continuity of consciousness that is literally beginning with giving, and given that we've been within some for the reasons and therefore being reborn again and again and again, and therefore creating negative karma tendencies as well as positive ones. So it's logical, it's just logical. There's a possibility of many suffering rebirths that our mind could take when it leaves this body at the time of death. So our teacher gets us to contemplate the suffering of the lower realm. We're going to energize to have a healthy revulsion of being born. This then leads us naturally to the next point, to turn for refuge to Buddha. This is a person who has been 2,500 years ago and gave us the path, which is the actual refuge, the Dharma itself, the methods to secure our minds, the methods to help ourselves transform ourselves, to avoid suffering in the future.
Teachings and the teachers that they've given us, this is from FPMT. A lot of this training comes from FPMT. They give you a lot of materials to look at, and then you kind of put the program together. So the goal is, and I'm going to start with an analogy. Okay? So think about you are planning to go to a city like New York. Okay? You're thinking about going to New York. What are you going to do first? A couple of ways to go, right? You're going to think, should I fly? Should I drive? So let's think about driving. Just a bunch of things that go in your mind. Need a car. You'll need a gas. You need to have a map. If you know how to go there, you kind of know, I got to take 95 and go this. You got to have some money for tolls. You have to plan for it. Because when you get to Lincoln Tunnel, and if you don't have $5, you're coming back. Or not going anywhere. You'll be in New Jersey for a while. So anyways, the idea is, when we go in even a little further, why are you going to New York? What are you going to accomplish when you're there? You kind of lay out a little plan. Right? And you can't simply just, and you can think about, okay, maybe I'll take a break. Whatever you do, in anything we do, we kind of have a little idea. Think about school. Think about university. Think about when you want to buy something. We look it up in our iPads or Google and look what is good, what is right, what's the right price, is there a sale there, what does my neighbor talk about it, what my friends think about it. Kind of assess before you go and jump into something. Same way, when you're talking about presenting the path, you know, when it comes to spiritual thinking, it's somehow esoteric. It's like, oh, it's different. It's something I think about on a Saturday or Sunday, you know. I'll think about it next time. I got to go back to what we call our reality. Is it? You know, so the idea here is when you're going through this program, we're going to kind of take this step at a time, and we're going to introduce you to some of these subject matters that we call a path. Venerable Robina, who is going to be here, by the way, during this session, she comes here, I think, 17th?
June
17th and 23rd. You heard her, and you will love it. I would suggest, if you are here, to attend. Very direct, very straight. A lot of the readings that I have done Obviously, I will give credit to all the teachers in a moment, but has a lot come from Venerable Rabin also. A lot has come from Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and Lama Yeshen will talk about that. But anyways, my idea is that...
Sorry, Venerable George will be here in November.
Oh, wow. So all the speakers you see are coming here. Right. Another thing is, you know, you also heard things like the four deeds. You're going to hear a lot when you come to this Kadampa Center. You hear a four of this and a six of that and an eight of this and a nine of that, and you just think nine of that. Each one of us has three more. So it's okay. They're very precise. The good news is they're very specific. When you go to school, we have a little general view. Then if we have interest, we kind of dig into it. But really, Tibetan and the Buddhism, the way it is presented in our lineage, is absolutely precise. There is no doubt. And the job is for us to then look into it properly. Okay? So what we're going to do is we'll talk about the scopes, we'll talk about the graduated path, everything you heard there. I may even repeat some of it, but in a little slower pace. And let's dig into it. I'll give you some vocabulary. Okay? I think it's very important. As people from Western world, we hear some words and we think, oh, that's Asian stuff. And we don't relate that. Even the word like dharma, nirvana, okay? You hear emptiness or sunyata. You'll hear these words. And we'll put that in a nice package so that during the class, you'll get a few of these words and you can think about them and relate to each other, okay? In English, in your own way, so you can understand it. So the things we're going to cover in general, nature of the mind, we'll talk about impermanence and death, and I'll tell you something personal from my side. You hear a lot of these words, suffering, death and impermanence. You're going to hear some parts of the realms, okay? And so people sometimes have this general feeling that Buddhism is gloom and doom, right? Let me turn that around. What is the goal? To get enlightened. So let's keep some facts together. If you have a problem, don't you want to recognize it first? Right? You want to say, I have this issue. Now I'm going to do something about it. The idea is you're looking forward to be that new you there. And that's how I whenever I look at this, it really gets me excited that, my goodness, this is, they're laying out the facts and what is the ultimate goal. Right? Then you start pondering, oh, well, there's so many of this, and I can go to there. We shop a little bit. Our mind is always looking for pleasure, right? And this is through the readings. When I'm saying something, Hemant is speaking, I'll say this is my opinion, okay? But we do that, right? As we all, as a normal human beings, we look for different things which gives us pleasure. What Buddhism has done and presenting the path is going to show you is, here's the spiritual path. The goal is enlightenment. The next question is, what is enlightenment? How many, if I were to ask every single body here, enlightenment, you'll get some similarities, but everybody has a different thought or don't know really what it is. We come thinking it's something wonderful, something great out there, right? Some faraway land. Is it? We must think. So we'll talk about that. Then they talked about nirvana and enlightenment and some confusion. For not some of you, it is not. But for many new people, it might be like, what are these words? We're gonna go through that. The three major pieces of this package here is the three words, renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness. Okay? I want you to focus. So we'll go over some of the books that are required, but I want you to kind of remember those words. Okay? Renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness, and we'll cover that. There are modules that deep dive into some of the subject matters, but we'll cover enough for you to have a general understanding of what this means. Okay? So, and continuously, we'll do a check-in, because the tendency in subject is you get deeper into some areas, and then we forget what was the purpose. Right? We want to link, and stop me if you get too much far into it and you feel like, okay, I thought we were going to really do a map going to New York. I am stuck in Baltimore. Okay? So we want to do that, right? So it's a great thing. Now, if not here, even when we have after the class, we get together for a while or whatever we do, at least every class, what I will do is we'll go through some of these pieces of discussions. Next class, we'll summarize a few things, and we'll link them. Okay, this is what we talked about. This is where it fits in. This is where we got to go next. Okay, and then in the end, you'll see the path. That, okay, this is according to Lama Tsongkhapa, according to our lineage teachers. This is the package they've given us. And when you find out what they have gone through and how this came to be, you should just be thrilled that somebody has gone through 84,000 teachings, have practiced for years, were ordained or recognized at a young age, and have taken time, so many years of their life, through hardship and good times and bad times, but put it together so we can have it. Okay, and in Western world. So I think that you should rejoice in your mind that if your purpose is really to be on the path, then this is something very exciting. Now, you have all kind of people here. Some are learning, just wanting to be intellectuals, just kind of curious about what is all this about. Some of you guys are really serious about this. All I'm asking is, whatever your purpose or reason might be to be here, I want you to think about these things. I want you to, when we say read this or listen to this, keep an open mind, okay? We'll talk about three ways of learning. You probably heard about this, the three parts. We'll go through that a little bit. We want to make sure that you come with an open mind, get to know each other if you can, and learn this. It's a really amazing way that they've given you this path, and then the modules we have in DB are going to lead you to deep dive into some of those things, and it may really churn your mind at some point, think, that's where my issue is. I really don't understand that. Now you can focus, right? It's nothing is going to be you walk out and you're enlightened. It's going to take a little time. And it's going to take, but it requires practice and some thinking, some contemplation, some meditation, and really paying attention and listening and asking questions. Okay? So we can put that fundamentals down. I'm not going to go through the list of all the three modules, but some of you have gone through Mind and Potential. That's a very powerful program by our director here, Robbie Watkins. That really got me in. When I first came here, it really got me in. Otherwise, this is amazing stuff. And then how to meditate, and this is the third one. So also be cognizant of the fact that this is just the beginning of all 13 modules, all right? So we can't get too deep into it and take away from something else. So enough to get you going, enough to get you connected and linked and kind of see, oh, this is what it's all about. Okay, that's the point. Okay, so for those people who have taken this program before, it's a great refresh. I find myself also sometimes coming to Keshala's class or a DB class and wow, it's a different perspective. And as your knowledge grows, experience grows, it means something different now than when you first started. So it's good to sometimes repeat yourself. Have you seen Keshala? He says the same thing again and again. And sometimes for us, it's like, why is he repeating himself? But let me tell you, it's a powerful way. Because I have heard him say the same thing three times. It's about the third or fourth time it clicks in. That's what he's talking about. Huh? So pay attention to those things. Okay, any questions so far? What you heard? We're going to cover those things. Yes, Vivian.
I heard this sentence. The only thing that can benefit us in death is the positive inference in our lives. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
The whole about creating positive mindsets.
Okay.
We will cover it, but I will not forget it. So I'm going to write it down. We'll talk about it. Okay. So let's get the logistics out of the way. So today we don't have a lot of time. As it is, it's 8:30. The class ends, and we will discuss this how we want to cover this classes in a few minutes. But let's go through the logistics first. The required reading. So. I really want to cover, what is this book? I really would like you to read this book. This is called Wisdom Energy. And really fascinating book, amazing book. And you know what? Just even the first few pages got me in because I first time found out about how Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche got together. It's just fascinating. And then when you see how they presented this book, you will see that they will go into the subject matter that we are covering, but in such a nice way. It's not a lot of reading. Believe me, once you get into it, you will finish it. But start. Okay? If you're seriously wanting to understand the program, I would suggest that you read this book. It's called The Wisdom Energy Basic Buddhist Teachings.
And it is available in the bookstore.
Yes. Thank you. Forget that. Okay. Another book, not a mandatory, but I would suggest if when we get into a little deep dive into the three words we talked about, renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness, they are called the three aspects of the path. You need each of them if you want to really get to the enlightenment stage, right? Very important pieces. Absolutely important. I would suggest to you that you either borrow the books from somebody or at least read it. It's also available. It's called The Three Principal Aspects of the Path by Geshe Sonam Rinchen. This one requires that you have a little bit of fundamentals in place, but it really deep dives into those three aspects. The other book they ask you to do, and this can be done within 2 or 3 hours, you can really finish this, is called The Essence of Tibetan Buddhism. And it talks generally about those three aspects. It talks a little bit about Tantra, a little bit, because that's another esoteric word for a lot of people. What is Tantra? It kind of talks to you a little bit about that. Okay? And then you have the required readings, right? Fantastic readings. So these are the books. But then you also have this couple of pages of reading. And I suggest to you for next class, I want you to read The Method, Wisdom, and the Three Paths. And we'll talk about it here and there. Any questions on what these readings are? Where can I get them? I think they're all available. Where's Linda? Go ahead, Linda.
So what Hemant's referring to right now, the Method, Wisdom, and the Three Paths are available online. So if you pick up this handout that's outside the Gampa door here, there's a couple boxes about 3/4 of the way down the first page, and it explains where to find those on the Kadampa Center website.
Okay. Then there's a two-pager here, The Wish-Fulfilling Golden Sun by Lama Zopa Rinpoche. That's just 2 pages. I have a little snippet from it, and we'll talk about it in a minute. And then the last thing is, it's talked about the liberation in palm of your hand. You know, just... You heard the word Lam Rim and the graduated path. This is a commentary on that by Pabongka Rinpoche. This is like a go-to book. When you don't want to read the entire treatise of Lam Rim, this is a go-to book. And they always ask you to read. And if you read the first 100 pages even, it talks about the value of the teacher, how the student should be, right? The gift that these teachers have given us. And so it kind of gets the stage. It sets the stage for you. And how to listen to the teachings, what is it all about, okay? So it's a required reading. Just take your time, but kind of look through it at least, so you understand what it is. Any questions on required readings? And I would be, if you're really serious about it, take your time to do this, okay? We have 6 classes. You probably already know, today is May 6th, we have 13th and 20th May, then no class on Memorial Day on 27th, then we have class on June 3rd and 10th, then Venerable Rubina will be here, you'll be all fired up, and then we'll end up our final class on June 24th. Okay, I see the next 3 classes to be a little more deeper, very content rich. This is just a basic class. We had a video, 27 minutes, so it doesn't allow you to really deep dive into something, just to start, set the stage. Okay?
Hemant, just to fill in a little bit, when Venerable Rubina is here, she knows that's the middle of this module, and she's doing the entire weekend workshop while she's here on the path.
On the path. So perfect supporting material you have, a Venerable teaching you that, right? So it's really great. I think it's going to really make a big impact. If you've done some readings, ahead of time, and when she comes and talks about it, believe me, it will settle in there very quickly. Okay? Very exciting. Okay? There are three meditations in this module, and again, the key three words which we've talked about, renunciation, bodhicitta, and emptiness. And what we expect every time you come to the class, we're going to do three prostrations, right? Then let's do them slowly in the beginning. It is not a mandatory thing, but I want you to think about what are you doing and why. Okay? Just do that, at least during my classes, and at least during this session, I should say. Okay? It's important you see if it has any impact on you. It makes you think a little bit. What are you bowing down to? Why should I bow down to? You know, why should anybody bow down to anything? We have this mindset, and you're really not bowing down to somebody. You're really bowing down and paying respect, but it's humbling you. And we'll talk about that little I in us a little bit later. We'll set the motivation. We'll do a little calm-abiding meditation as we did today, and then we'll get into the sessions. Okay? That will be the way we'll do it. I'd like to know if anybody has, I know that this is a very busy time for a lot of people, but if this next two or three classes go a little, like 10 to 15 minutes more, we'll be able to cover the subject matter in a little better way than just giving you a little overview real quick and walk away from it. Okay? If you don't, you can always reach me and we can talk about it, or I can show you where to find it in the teachings, okay? All right. I'd like to add, before we even get going and we use the last 15 minutes on to Buddha himself, I'd like to at least recognize and give respect to the teachers. Lama Zopa Rinpoche, you saw him in the video actually giving kata. Okay, he's the director of FPMT centers all around the world. And Kadampa Center is part of FEMT. And he will be here when we have LOP and all that. He actually comes here. Amazing. Okay? So I want to respect him. A lot of the books he'll be reading, he is the owner of all that teachings. Of course, Lama Yeshe is his teacher, FPMT, because they put this entire program together. Okay? I also want to recognize we have fantastic geishas here. We have Geshe Gelek, and right? And you know his teachings, you've probably seen him, heard him. You just have no idea how fortunate we are to have a geshe in Raleigh, North Carolina. Okay? Geshe Sangpo, also, he's our geshe. And of course, we have three venerables here. You see Lamola chanting all the time. She's our chant master. What a wonderful person. And then you also have Kandola and Chokila. And believe me, they do a lot of things. You may not see them here, but they're always working. This place doesn't function without all the volunteers, but we have a spiritual coordinator. You have Donna Cease over there, right? We have Linda Shah, program coordinator. These are things that they come together when there's a real yearning to learn Dharma. These things come into place and it's put together, and we receive Dharma. So we must thank all the volunteers and thank yourself for making yourself coming here. And believe me, this is not only one-way street. I learn a lot. Anytime you are about to do a class or a presentation, you have to deep dive into it yourself. And then you have to question yourself whether this is something you understand. Are you willing to understand? And then can you articulate it? So I want to thank you for being here. Okay? And with that, we will start the class. I know we have very little time, so what we'll touch today is a little bit about Buddha, Lama Atisha, and Lama Tsongkhapa. Okay? You heard the seven deeds of Buddha. But just a brief history of Buddha, born in 523 BCE. For a lot of people, that's the first confusion. What is that? 2,500 years ago. So when you say common era before Christ, so a lot of the Western people develop schedule based on the Christian era. So before that becomes BCE, after that becomes AD, after the death of Christ. So in perspective, 500 years before Christ, that's when Buddha was born. He was born in a place called Lumbini, which is now in Nepal. You have to realize those days there was no Nepal, and it was all one massive area, kingdoms all over the place. Okay? And kingdoms went from India to Nepal into parts of different places. So that's where he was born. His father's, and if this is not important to know, but just for knowing sake right now, father's name was Suddhodana. His name when Buddha was born was called Siddhartha Gautama. And Gautama is not a fancy word, that's their family name. He was just called Siddhartha Gautama. So you'll hear when you go to Asia, Gautam Buddha. Okay? But later on, as worldwide, he's known as Shakyamuni, because the kingdom, the clan in that region was called Shakya. Okay, it was an oligarchy. Many kings, rich people, had a lot of land, a lot of money. They created big palaces and huge, kingdoms and castles and so forth. The area was called Shakya clan, so he's known as Shakya Muni. Muni is really translated as a sage, okay, later on, so Shakya Muni. Okay, his mother was Mayavati, you saw a little bit, she had that dream, but then not soon after she passed away. And then her sister, Prajapati, actually raised Buddha. Buddha at age 29, there was a seer named Asita who had predicted that either Buddha will be a big leader, like a king, or a big mendicant or a sage. It was already predicted he will go one way or the other. Of course, his father wanted him to be the king, his continuation of his progeny, and so he protected him and so forth. But all along, he was very pragmatic, very realistic, and at age 29, he had already decided that he was going to go. And what you heard was the seven deeds. One of them they talked about where he saw the mendicant, he saw a person, dead person, he saw a poor person, right? Those are the four events he saw. His charioteer named Channa, he kind of snuck out one time saying, take me out to sea, and he saw an old age person walking around very old, and you heard already that he questioned, what is that, right? The next thing he saw was somebody that was sick, and he thought, oh, he's never seen this. You saw he had queens and princesses and beautiful, lush life. He never knew that this is what will happen to everybody. And then at some point he saw old age, sickness. He also saw death. He saw third thing he saw was somebody being carried away for cremation. And that's when it really stuck him that if this is the ultimate end of the body, what is the point of life? Who are we? We all have that question sometimes. Who am I? Where do I come from? What is the goal? That's why we are all sometimes searching, right? Okay? And then you look for things that kind of help you feel a little better. Right? So this is what happened. So age 29, he left. He was married at very early age. His wife, Yashodhara, had a son, Rahula. And it is not unusual in Indian tradition, just so you know, those days, still considered the Vedic tradition, I should say, India later on, but Vedic tradition, for people at old age to leave. It's a common thing that they grow up studying, they have a married life if they chose to, and then at some point they retire and go out, but he wanted to know the meaning of life and had questions. And after he had saw that last vision he had of that mendicant or a sage, he realized that there is a way to find looking for things, so that's why he left. So that was a brief history on Buddha. There's a really amazing, and when he became a Buddha, when he got enlightened, I should say, he got enlightened in Bodh Gaya. Some of us were very lucky to actually visit the place where he got enlightened. He went for 5 years first looking around, and he would get to a teacher, he would meet with them, and the teacher would see that he very quickly picked up things, and they would ask him to teach, and he was still not satisfied. Anyways, he wandered around for 5-6 years, and then finally he came to Bodh Gaya, and he was determined that he was going to get the answer. He's not going to get up. And then you heard how he practiced so many ways and this and that, but in the end he sat down and he was enlightened. When you ask the person anywhere in Asia, what does Buddha mean? They will say, the awakened one. Okay? It's a really amazing word, right? The awakened one is awakened from the sleep that we are consistently in, basically. So he's called the awakened one. And he decided, he contemplated for a while if he should teach or not. it wasn't easy for him, but he decided that's what he wants to do. So what his teachings, the initial teaching, is called the turning of the wheel. That's how he started. The first, like you heard today in the video, he went to Deer Park Sarnath and he taught Four Noble Truths. Then the second turning of the wheel, he went to a place called Rajgira, Vulture's Peak, and he talked about the Heart Sutra, the wisdom of the Heart Sutra, about the true nature of reality, how things exist, the wisdom. That's what he talked about. Then he found out that that would confuse people. At some point, he's talking about conventional things, and sometimes he's talking about the way things exist. So there was a third wheel, and his teachings are broken down into interpretive and distinctive. In distinctive, he's talking about the wisdom. Interpretive is according to the capacity of the person, where he's talking about how to kind of look at the entire picture. He realized that would confuse people, so he started to put things together. Why am I talking about this? It's because after that, so lucky that Lama Atisha was invited, also born in a very rich family, but he was invited to Tibet, and he put a very beautiful, small, some very concise writing, Lamp of the Path. He realized that there were many yogis. Padmasambhava had been there before. There was a lot of teachings. Buddhist teachings existed. There were yogis there. But somehow, as you know, over years, there are so many. You think about any recipe. You learn this, you learn that. You're not going to find how to make a cake quickly. You're going to have to kind of know, that's what I want to make. Same way, this entire teaching, 84,000 or something, they had lost the plot a little bit. So he worked very hard, and he put a really concise way, he presented this lamp of the path. That is the beginning of Lam Rim. Lam Rim is graduated path. 67 verses he wrote. And it's and that was in 11th century, 14th century, right? I forget. Let me think about that. 14th century. Then we jump forward to Lama Tsongkhapa. Okay? And he is our lineage teacher. He's behind us. If somebody wants to see us, he's behind the Buddha with his two students, Gondrupla and Dodrupla. He is the one who really, really did a lot of things, but among the most profound one is he created these three volumes that you see outside, the great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. Okay? So, we'll keep a little mindset, 5 more minutes. Is that okay with you, if it's not too late? So Tsongkhapa was in 11th century, Atisha was in 14th century. Okay? In the end, they put this pathway together. And this pathway is written in, they were put in three scopes. You heard Venerable Rubina talk about the scopes. And I'm just going to quickly talk about it, then we'll end the class today. And we'll cover it next time. So let me go to this. They do a better job putting it in a context here. So there are some fundamental things that we must know. We understand the Lam Rim, the scopes, how to listen to the teachings. Those are some fundamentals. Then when it comes to the teaching, it's broken down into three scopes, right? The foundation is a small scope, the middle scope, and the greater scope. And all that means is you need to know this in order to know this. Medium scope, and you need to know this in order to do this. It put yourself in your regular position. If you were to have a child go to school, if you start that child in 9th grade right away and he hasn't learned ABCD yet, I think that child will fail, right? Similarly, it's important to create that foundation, some practice, understanding, and then go to the next. Otherwise, it gets very confusing for people. So they've really, really nicely done this. And then you'll see very systematically they have taken, and we'll talk about on relying of the teacher, the meditation practice, but in the small scope, they start with death and impermanence. So as part of the path, when we are going through this program, we're going to touch that subject. Okay, what is death and impermanence? We're going to talk about contemplating suffering and happiness. Okay, how to attain happiness for future. Laws of cause and effect, that's going to be probably an entire class on just karma, right? We won't go as very deep, but you will have a good understanding of what is karma. And we have these questions. what is karma? So we'll define those things. The medium scope, we'll get into the nature of the path of liberation. Okay, and the greater scope, we will talk about bodhicitta and emptiness and so forth. Okay? Emptiness actually comes in the middle scope, and then the higher scope gets into generating bodhicitta. So you will hear those things, we'll talk about those things, and we'll deep dive into those things. Any questions on what this presenting the path is all about? I know we don't have a lot of time, tendency is to deep dive into this, but what I will do is we'll start with what is mind next time. We'll do a little contemplation, mind meditation type thing, understanding the mind, and then we'll really understand what is enlightenment, what is nirvana, and what is a Buddha nature? What it is to be a Buddha? We all say, that's our goal, but what is it? What is it that we want to be, and why? Okay? When somebody says Buddha is this ultimate stage, but I still don't understand it. If that is the fundamental question, your mind will answer that. And then what's the difference between nirvana, and then why you call enlightened sometimes we call nirvana. And we'll discuss those. And we'll clarify very quickly Hinayana and Mahayana. Nothing to worry about. You need both. You need grade 1 to 8, and you need from 8 to 9 in order to get into 10th. Neither is lower or higher. Both are fundamentals. It is already amazing if you can liberate this chattering mind of ours and just liberate oneself. And we'll define that. And then what is the ultimate universal goal, as you heard today, is after you have bodhicitta, is to then get to enlightenment. And then we'll understand the nature of Buddha. And then we'll get a little bit into death and impermanence. All right? Cool? So can we do a little dedication? Yes.
What would you like for us to do for homework for next week? You had mentioned the Method Wisdom and Three Paths reading and to start Wisdom Energy.
Yes. Uh-huh. So let's just quickly go through that. I honestly will say that you must read the second this piece, the wisdom, the method, wisdom, and the three paths. At least read that. Okay? I think there's only like 4 or 5 pages.
Okay.
Okay? I would also suggest to you that you genuinely start reading the wisdom energy.
Okay.
You start to read. That doesn't mean just 2 pages and come. I want you to take an interest in it and really read and understand where that is going. I understand that people can't finish things with busy schedule, the entire book, but I would suggest that you dive a little deeper into it than just 2 or 3 pages. And we'll talk about it. Because I will start using those words, and I want you to be a little familiar with it. We'll define it, but at least get the context from the reading. Any questions? All right. I want to do a dedication before we go. That is a proper thing to do. Let's do a little quick dedication. Thank you. Okay. So let's dedicate this merit of having made this effort to listen to the teachings to the swift enlightenment of each and every living being, and dedicate this merit that we ourselves might quickly attain the awakened state of perfectly awakened Buddha and be able to benefit all living beings by leading them to that state. May we generate the bodhicitta which has not been generated, and may the bodhicitta that has been generated never decline but always increase, and may the gap between our mind and dharma be reduced to nothing, and may our minds become the perfect dharma for benefit of all. Thank you.